I moved for a job, but they changed their mind once I got there. So I made them lose $400,000. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. Let's start with the background. A few years ago, I worked in the wine industry and I traveled to Australia to try to broaden my experience of the industry, as well as of life, and to try out living abroad for a while. I also knew the pay there was vastly higher than what it was in my home at the time, in the UK. I had quite a bit of experience, a decent CV/resume, great qualifications in the industry and academically, and I was young and eager. At the time, I had a one-year work visa, but this could have been extended to 2 or longer depending on the employer. I applied for loads of jobs. Many were listed on the various employment websites, industry-specific ones, Gumtree, and if I liked the sound of it, I applied for it. I also wrote to various wineries in the area that I really liked with my CV and various details. I got a lot of replies, but one of my favorites got back to me. They put me in touch with their hiring manager. I was stoked to have an interview with one of my favorite wineries in the region for a sales rep job. I drove to the winery and met with the hiring manager and had the interview of my life. I nailed it. To this day, I've never had a better interview. I met the winery manager and we got along great. At the end of the interview, the hiring manager told me I was a shoo-in and that they'd be in touch shortly to let me know if I got the job, followed by a very reassuring wink and nod. The very next day, I got a phone call saying that they would be delighted to have me as their regional sales rep, and we discussed a start date. This winery was several hours out of the city, so I had to move quite a distance, rent an apartment, buy a car, and so on. This cost me the vast majority of the savings I'd accumulated back home before the move. A few days before the starting date, I give them a call to let them know I moved in and that I'm looking forward to starting, and to ask if they wouldn't mind if I came along a few days before just to get a better lay of the land. They said the owners weren't around, so don't bother coming in, but to try calling again tomorrow. I did, and again, the owners weren't around. I was due to start on the Monday, so I figured, oh well, I guess I'll meet them then. I showed up bright and early, 20 minutes early on the first day, ready to meet the crew and get stuck in. I walked around until I found someone, as the cellar door and main areas weren't open yet. They told me to hang around until someone showed up. Eventually, the general winery manager appears, and when I say I'm supposed to be meeting with him, the hiring manager, and the owners today, his eyes widen. He goes a little whiter, and then, after some ing, lets me know that they aren't ready today, and need a few more days to sort things out, but to call back in the afternoon to find out when I'm really supposed to start. I call back and it goes to voicemail. I leave a voicemail saying, hey, it's no worries, just let me know which day this week you'd like me to start. I call the hiring manager I'd spoken to before, that goes to voicemail, and I do the same there. 2 more days pass and I'm starting to get irritated. I want to start work. I call the hiring manager again, who picks up this time. I'm as civil as I can be, but I do ask why I haven't been called back. She lets me know that the owners have changed their minds and don't want to hire me anymore. She admitted that this was pretty crappy and she'd been trying to convince them to take me, but they had issues with the fact that I was a temporary worker and wouldn't be there for more than 2 years. I let her know that there were options for extending my ability to stay in the country and things like that. She said she knew, but they were adamant. I was pretty ticked at this point, so I decided to call them directly. Their number was easy to find, so I called them and left a voicemail asking them to call me back, and another voicemail a day later, all the time remaining as polite as I could. Eventually, I called them from Skype with no number, and they actually picked up. I asked why they no longer wished to hire me, and tried to explain that they could apply for an extension or sponsorship if they liked having me. Then came the line. We just don't want to pull me working for us, plain and simple, mate. You jerks. This had nothing to do with the sponsorship thing. You just don't like Brits. I'm not even a pom. This is typically slang reserved for English, and I'm Scottish. I terminate my lease, cancel my internet, and drive back up the coast about $2,000 in the hole, not including the price of the car, fuel, food, and time wasted. Now, I was ticked off, but at this point, desperate for money. I stay at a hostel and begin job hunting again. This time, there's a pretty great job as a regional manager and buyer for a decent-sized chain of liquor stores. This is a little beyond my previous experience, but screw it, I go for it. I get the job, and I'm suddenly responsible for 7 stores and the purchases they make. 7 big stores that buy a lot of wine. When store managers make their weekly orders, it was done through an online system where the various products and quantities were put in. There was a short window between the order being submitted and the order actually going through to be fulfilled. I simply canceled each and every store's orders of the wines from that winery. I did that every single week until I left. Each store was ordering between 15 and 30 cases of this producer's wine per week. An average of about $6,000 in store sales. When the store managers saw that their stocks were dwindling or gone and asked me about it, I simply said that they'd changed their pricing and we can't afford to sell it right now. Every time their sales rep, who didn't know me, called to ask what the problem was, I just told him that their product just wasn't moving, and we didn't need any stock right now. He didn't even think to compare previous year's sales records. If he had, he'd have seen that something was up, because their wine was great and it had always sold well. I wasn't there long. I hated the job, the hours, and the stress of taking care of 7 freaking stores and their problems. But the revenge was sweet. After 4 months, I packed it in, and I reckon their crappy attitude cost them over $400,000 in sales. I could have made that for them if they'd hired me. Talk about letting your personal preferences make a stupid business decision for you. I know there's some animosity between Australia and Britain, and I get that. But like a lot of things, that's in the past. This person hasn't done anything directly to you, and where they're from doesn't affect how they're gonna work for you. Going around with an attitude like this isn't gonna make you any friends, as we saw here. You could have said anything, but you chose to just right out say that you didn't want to hire them because of their background. Come on. Of course that person's gonna take it personally. This person just so happened to get the perfect job to be able to utilize their power to screw over these jerks, though. And honestly, they had it coming. Sadly, we're not quite getting the satisfying revenge we want here because they don't know why this happened. They don't understand that this was because of their jerk behavior, and as a result, their behavior isn't gonna change. At least not from this. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below. And don't forget to subscribe. I ruined a wedding reception for fun and profit. When I was 13, so 8 years ago, my dad remarried, after divorcing my mom 4 years before. Before the divorce, his fiancée had been his mistress. My mom is completely better off without him, and ignoring the fact that I wouldn't exist, I don't think she should have married him in the first place. Even if I think my parents weren't a good match, that's no excuse to cheat on your wife. This woman was absolutely vile in all sorts of ways. She constantly belittled me and made fun of the fact that I needed to take pills for my mental illness, despite being a pharmacist. I don't get it either. She was just generally awful to me and my siblings, but she was a decade younger than my dad and reasonably hot, so he didn't give a crap how she treated us. The one time he actually listened to us about her is when they were thinking of having a baby, and my brother said he'd ask our mom to sue for full custody of us if they did. So anyway, they got married. I was a bridesmaid because that witch had no real friends. The other two bridesmaids were her sister and my sister. My brother was the best man, because she didn't like my dad's best friend. He and my dad still don't talk to this day, even though the guy was like an uncle to me as a little kid. It was a wedding, and everything went normally. But at the beginning of the reception, before the first dance, we were taking pictures in front of a chocolate fountain, looking like the happy family we never were and never would be. I'm on the autism spectrum and have a problem maintaining eye contact. This extends to looking at a camera, so we had to retake a photo because I wasn't looking. She leans down and whispers something in my ear. I'm not gonna repeat it, but it involved the R word. I don't like saying it. Anyway, I kinda snapped and decided she was gonna pay for this. No one noticed, or at least no one called me out, when I started slowly moving the chocolate fountain towards the edge of the table. table. When it got to the edge, it makes contact with the back of that pure white wedding dress and slowly drips down. By the time she notices, it looks like she crapped herself. But for all anyone else knows, this was an accident. She had no spare dress, and that stain is not coming out. So first dance, cutting the cake, speeches, everything. This woman has what appears to be a poop stain on the back of her dress. It was a small revenge, but it was so worth it. This was supposed to be the happiest day of this stupid woman's life. And all she's gonna remember is that stain every time she thinks about it. They never did get the stain out, and nobody knew it was me. Until now, I guess. Hi, family, if you're reading this. Susie, you're a jerk, and you deserve that chocolate stain. I don't know, I feel like our original poster isn't giving themselves enough credit here. Saying that was a small revenge? Maybe to you, but definitely not to her. Another story where it would probably be more satisfying if the jerk actually knew who was getting the revenge. But I digress. It sounds like this woman was a jerk overall, and just not really a good person. And then to go ahead and drop that word to someone who has autism, or is at least on the spectrum, that's just the icing on the jerk cake. Or in this case, I guess less icing and more melted chocolate. My manager refused to stop smoking inside, even after I had a note from my surgeon. So back in March, I had surgery. My surgeon told me I could not be around secondhand smoke or vapor. I worked in a hair salon catering to hair loss clients, so we had a big office space to make wigs and hair pieces. This was also our lunchroom. Three women vaped all day in this room, and these three women bullied me relentlessly. Mind you, I'm 21 and these women were like 50. I politely asked all of the employees who vaped to please avoid doing it around me as I was recovering from surgery. Did that work? No, it made it 100 times worse. They'd vape in my coffee, in wigs I was working on, in everything. I tried to bring it up to the manager, who was the owner's son, and that didn't go too well since he vaped as well. I did some research, and it's actually illegal to vape in a non-smoking building. I brought this up to my manager, and again, he blew me off. So I went to the owner of the building. I had photos of their vape pens plugged into chargers at work, photos of them vaping in that office, even photos of the manager vaping. The owner increased the rent for the company and threatened to evict if the vaping continued. The owner of the building told the owner of the company that I worked for that a client had complained and was allergic to the vapor, so I was never suspected. I ended up quitting shortly after as those three women drove me absolutely crazy, and nothing was being done about it. But hey, at least I got them back just a little bit.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying that people think that vaping is different from smoking in that aspect. That they can kind of just do it wherever they want. You see people walking around the mall with their vape pen smoking and they don't give a crap. While it may smell nicer than regular cigarette smoke, that doesn't mean that people want to be breathing it in. It's really just a jerk power move in general. You know what you're doing isn't right, and you're still doing it anyway, waiting for someone to call you out on it so you can get into a confrontation. Just have some consideration for the people around you. That's all. It's a very basic human social standard. Entitled customer thinks it's part of my job to laugh at his bad joke. A couple of years ago, my mother died, tragically, unexpectedly at the age of 50. It was a horribly traumatizing night and few weeks for my whole family. I have 4 siblings, 3 of which were young teens at the time. As you can imagine, I was not in the best headspace for a while after this, but a girl has to pay the bills. So after 2 weeks off, I went back to one of my jobs at a grocery store. It was my 2nd shift back there. I was working the register around 7 at night. A middle-aged white man and his 10 or 11 year old son come through my line. This man started out fine, then proceeded to wink at me and make a stupid joke. For the life of me, I can't remember the joke. Something anyone in the service industry has heard hundreds of times. Like, "Oh, it isn't ringing up, must be free." What I do remember is I was at the end of my 8-hour shift and still emotionally decimated. I didn't laugh. Just nodded and continued ringing up his groceries. The silence that followed his joke was deafening. Then,
"Really? Not even a word?"
He then turned to his son and said,
"Some people have no sense of humor. Don't even try with them. That's why they work in places like this."
I feel bad for the son, who will undoubtedly grow up to be just as much of a toxic jerk. Seriously, I worked in the retail industry for many years. You're not the first person to tell me that joke. You're not the first person to tell me that joke this week. Cut the crap. Honestly, you're not funny. Maybe come at me with something original and you'll get a chuckle. But otherwise, if I'm having a bad day, I don't owe you a laugh. I'm really surprised our original poster didn't just snap on him, because I know I would have had something to say. My friend cost a timeshare scam all of their sales for lying and made $5,000 doing it. This is the story of how a friend of mine nuked a timeshare scam a few years back and took them to the cleaners. To start with the background, my friend is a big dude, maybe 6'3 and 250 pounds, a no-nonsense military NCO. Likes his booze and likes to have a good time when he's off the clock. We'll call him JB. One day, he got one of those win a free week-long cruise, all expenses paid phone calls. He decides to look into it because why not? He calls the number back and gets a lady on the other end who gives him the rundown of how the cruise thing works. It sounds too good to be true. So he asks her, "Is there some sort of timeshare crap or other strings attached to this?" She assures him that no, there's not. He goes for it and signs up for the cruise a few months later during a block leave. In order to claim the cruise, he and his wife had to show up a day early to the hotel near the port where the cruise was departing. The room is paid for already as part of the cruise package. They show up the day before and check in with the front desk. The concierge asks if they'd like to upgrade to the VIP package for $20, which includes free drinks at the hotel bar. Heck yeah. He takes the upgrade and heads to the bar. JB is a social drinker, and when he gets liquored up, he starts socializing with other bar patrons. He finds out that they're also there for the cruise, and that there's a mandatory presentation the next morning that everyone has to go to. JB starts to smell a rat. This sounds an awful lot like a timeshare scam. Well, he's having none of it, and being good and drunk, he rallies all the cruise goers around him, about 30 people, gets up on a table and delivers a William Wallace-style speech about how they don't have to deal with these timeshare scam artists. Within minutes, he's whipped the crowd into a frenzy and convinced everyone not to buy into whatever the presentation is selling. Sure enough, the next morning, everyone shows up to the presentation to claim their cruise. They're told the tickets will be given to them at the conclusion of the presentation. JB is drunk again because, well, free booze, and he's on leave. JB starts to go back into Braveheart mode, getting real loud about how it's a scam and he was told explicitly that there was no timeshare stuff attached to this cruise. Well, the timeshare people instantly recognize JB as bad for business, so they usher him away from everyone else into a side room and try to talk sense into him. "Sir, this is a mandatory presentation. We cannot give you a ticket for the cruise unless you go to this." "Oh, bull. Y'all specifically said there was no timeshare involved in this cruise." "Sir, we have all our calls recorded, and it was very clearly outlined that you need to listen to this presentation."
"Good. Let's pull up my recording and you show me what they said."
At this point, a big beefy looking dude, not with the hotel and clearly a part of the timeshare company, tries to intervene because JB is getting louder and more angry.
"Sir, we're gonna have to..."
"Back up, dude. I will rip your head off, crawl down your neck, and out your butt."
He has a way with words. The security guard just turns tail and runs. At this point, it's clear that they can't let JB into the presentation, or else he'll ruin everything. So the director of the program pulls JB into his office, basically tells JB that they listened to his call and he's right. The lady had said that there was no timeshare involved. The director admits that they aren't able to print his ticket until 12:30, the time the presentation was scheduled to end, because the company locks them in order to force people to go to the presentations. He says,
"Come back at 12:30 and I'll have your tickets, and we'll upgrade you to premium for free. Just don't go anywhere near our presentation."
Too easy. JB does exactly that, and then heads to the boat. Premium was like the best cabin on the boat, with, again, free booze, and all sorts of awesome upgrades, including $5,000 on his account. Turns out, everyone else who had to sit through the timeshare presentation almost missed the boat because it went so long. Not a single person bought a timeshare, and the presenters spent hours trying to convince them to. Eventually, they gave up and handed everyone their tickets in defeat. In total, they made $0 in sales and lost another $5,000 to JB's free premium upgrade. If someone calls offering you a free cruise, it's not free. They want something in return. Seems like the protagonist of our story actually managed to find a way around it, though. I mean, if you know what you're getting into ahead of time and how these things work, then by all means. Me personally, I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure they make you feel obligated to buy something to get the cruise ticket. Otherwise, I don't really see how this would make sense for them. Luckily, JB got to everyone ahead of time and managed to talk some sense into them. While I'm sure they do get some people here and there for this kind of thing, they probably lost a lot of money on this group. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything linked in the description.